putting something in my mouth up here. I've over all the years, I have blown my voice, and I get to put a cough drop in there. But if I put a button in there, this is the timer for when the sermon's over, and a button won't go away. Just thought I'd point that out to you. Okay, your Christian testimony. I began my career as, of course, I've been in the ministry for a very long time, but I spent several years while I was in seminary as a youth director, youth minister, youth whatever you call them, and assistant pastor to Dr. Vertus Gideon at Oak Grove Baptist Church, just south of Fort Worth. We loved our time there. I was there for a long time, and we took kids constantly from the second season that Six Flags was open. We went there all the time. And then I started watching the rides get crazy. And you know, we met one that was called Flashback. I bet some of you have been on that. No. Maybe one or two of you. That thing, I'll tell you what it does. 0 to 60, it's an electric start roller coaster. 0 to 60 in 2.1 seconds. And boy, when you come out of the chute on that thing, it goes up and around and over and crazy and does all kinds of stuff and then goes straight up. And you just think you're getting a break. And it goes all the way up until it stops. And then it goes backward and does the same thing backward until it pulls right in. And the whole ride is 1 minute and 30 seconds. It feels like 2 hours when you get on it. I remember whenever some folk were going to get on there that they didn't want to get on it, but they were in a crowd and there wasn't anything they could do. And one of them said, I think I'll probably die on that thing. My heart's going to stop. I heard somebody over here say, wait a minute. That's 1 minute and 45 seconds. I got another 1.5 minutes to bring you back. So you ride that thing. I figured out real well how you can find a way to deal with that. When it came back and people started getting off, I looked at them and I said, did you survive? Yes. Did you survive? Yes. Did everybody survive? Yes. Well, I guess then we'll all survive, right? That's your testimony, that we will survive. Paul's testimony is one very quick, beautiful testimony, and it comes out of a real depth of persecution. If you remember, he was persecuted. He was challenged on every level. He was imprisoned. And he said, it was for this cause that I share the gospel, that I believe in the gospel. It is for the gospel that I am here. And he was always ready to share the gospel. How would you like to have been guards attached to Paul? I guarantee you, you would be witnessed to and you probably get converted before it's over. He was one who shared his testimony, and the testimony itself grew with him constantly. It always got stronger all the way, and the more he was tested, the stronger his gospel became. And he really lays it out that the gospel is to be shared. And the thing that I believe that it says to us is that we must share our Christian testimony, period. We don't have an option on it. God doesn't say, if you feel like it, if you want to, you do it. No, you have to share the testimony that it is yours. And it must have the ring of authority. That's what Paul was showing. It was a ring of authority. It was a great personal statement of his faith and his experience. And he could lay it out, and even though he was tested, there it was. And our Christian testimony must have the ring of reality, and it has to have the strength of assurance. We have to be confident in our relationship to Christ. We've got to be confident that we are there, that we are having that place. We need to be beyond criticism. We need to be sharing the gospel as clearly as possible. We must share our Christian testimony. We must share our Christian testimony. That is God's plan for us. That's his statement for us. And there are some things that we need to remember about that. Our Christian testimony is based on a personal relationship with Christ. Probably you noticed in the news this week that there was a Christian singer who grew up in a church. Father was a pastor. He had sung and he was popular. And he says, "I don't believe in God anymore." Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. It doesn't matter whether he does or not. God exists. And his whole argument is in the wrong place. I have two brothers. Now, I could stand here at my age, and you could look at them. They're worse shape than I. Well, maybe not. We're all about the same shape. I could say, "I don't have any brothers anymore." Would not be true. It is based on a personal relationship. And your statement about God is because you know God and God knows you. You are having a personal relationship. And we know Christ because that's how we got saved. And you're not going to say, "Well, now I don't believe in Christ anymore." No, he is in your heart. And so it is based on a personal relationship. It is an I-Him personal relationship. Christ and me relationship. And the point that he's making is that Paul said he knew Christ. And I can tell you today that I know Christ. And if you've asked Jesus into your heart, you know Christ. It is based on a personal relationship. And since he said that, he said, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's a very powerful statement. This is the heart of the Christian experience. We are united with Christ. It is a bond. But it is even more than that. It is a birth. It is the new birth experience that John talks about. It is that birth that is right there. A personal relationship that is intensely personal. And it involves the fact that we trust and he loves us and we love him and we recognize that there's three words that you can say. The word is, first of all, communion. It's not the Lord's Supper. This is your relationship with a Heavenly Father. That's communion. That is the relationship also you have with Christ, because the Father and the Son are the same. He says, I am my Father. Father and I are the same. And then the devotion that is involved in the relationship back and forth. Remember the woman at the well? Boy, she really wanted to talk around the clock on everything with Jesus. But Jesus got down and got real personal. And she went back to the village, and she said, come and see a man that you wouldn't believe, but he told me everything there is to know about me. He told me all about me. And she, by her testimony, led a lot of people to Christ, and they all came to find out who Christ was. Your Christian testimony, number two, is your affirmation of certainty. Whenever you say, well, I know him. No, it's more than that. I know him. I know him. That has got to be that strong in your life. You know God through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is in you. And when you've got that relationship, it's powerful. Christ was a fact and a force in the life of Paul. He is a fact and a force in our lives. And all we need to do is follow him and release his power. Remember the blind man and John? They really wanted to get him to say something bad about Jesus. He said, all I know is this. I was blind, but now I see. The certainty in his life was the fact that he was blind, but now he sees. And it was Jesus that did it. We need to realize that our sins are forgiven not because we're good people. Our sins are forgiven because Jesus forgave them. He died in our place so that we could experience a relationship with God, and we don't have to worry about how real is it. Well, it's very real. In John 10, verse 27 to 30, the promise of Christ is this. I know my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. And no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Boy, that is powerful. Romans 8:14, the promise of the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit in us, the promise of the Spirit leading the sons of God, says in Romans 8:14, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And then Romans 8:38 and 39, the promise of the power of the future. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor anything else. He goes on, nor things present nor future, and he talks about all those things. Nor any power or anything, any height or depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to notice, when you go through the list of what he's saying, neither death nor life. I participated in a funeral this week of a man who spent his life serving as a home missionary and then a pastor of one of our churches, one of our missions. There is a church now. He passed away, but boy, he left a legacy. Death doesn't stop anything. It's not death or life. You know, he says angels or demons, and then he goes, nor any other creature. You know what? If you can think up something besides angels and the demons, no matter what it is, you can think up all kinds of stuff. It can't keep us away from the love of Jesus Christ. And so we recognize that we've got to be powerful in our testimony with the relationship that we have with God, because it is personal. We know him. And then thirdly, your Christian testimony is a declaration of security. Your testimony is a declaration of security. Do you know that he is able to guard whatever you have left with him until that day, he says, I will leave what I've given to him. He will guard it. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Fiery furnace. Excuse me. That must be a button. They were thrown in a fiery furnace. Those who stoked the fire, they all burned up. And yet there they were, right there, experiencing the unlimited God power of Christ. As a matter of fact, who is that in there with him? And did you know when they came out that it didn't smell like smoke? It's kind of amazing when you look at that. They stood firm. They had the unlimited power of Christ is able to do anything that he needs to have done. And we want to pray and get God to give us answers. What we really need to do is to pray and listen to God, because his power is unlimited. You know, there is every reason to commit to Christ. Every reason in the world. If anybody talks to you and you want to share your gospel, remember this. That settles your eternal destiny. When you invite Jesus into your heart, that settles your eternal destiny. You are going to heaven, period. And nothing can keep you from being there. You've got to also recognize that it is our weakness that he makes strong. It's not how strong we are and how much we know and what we do. It's what he wants. Remember, somebody thought it was a donkey that was trying to save him, but God spoke through a donkey. You know, if he spoke through a donkey, he can speak through anybody. And there's been plenty of donkeys in pastors, I guess. But you look at it and recognize it's our weakness. And did you know he takes our personality as it is? We all have different personalities. Some of us are easy to get along with. Some of us aren't. But it doesn't matter. God will take us wherever we are, and he will make it perfect for his kingdom. Not perfect for us, perfect for his kingdom. Perfectness is what he says. It's not what we do. It's what he does. And so we look at that and realize, wow, that's amazing. Remember the Gadarene demoniac? The guy that had all those devils inside of him, all those demons? Jesus pulled them out, stuck them in a bunch of pigs, and they killed themselves. That's what demons do to you. And here he was, normal again. He wanted to go with Jesus, but he said, no, you stay here. And when Jesus came back, the whole village was ready to hear him. It's amazing what God can do. To wrap this up, you shall be my witnesses. That's, I think, very important. How are we to do that? We're not to go. That isn't what it says. While you are going is really the way you say it. While you are going, you make disciples. While you are going. In other words, it's not being sent on a mission trip. It is while you are going, wherever you are. Wherever you are a witness. We are to make disciples. How to do that? Well, you bring them to Christ, then you baptize them, teaching them to observe all that I have taught you. Mark 16:15 says, he said to them, go into the whole world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know how we like to read that? We like to reverse it. We'll go to the uttermost. We'll go to Samaria, Judea, Jerusalem, and then at home. Christ turns it around. You start here. You are a witness here, Jerusalem. You're a witness in Denton County. That's Judea. You're even a witness in Oklahoma. That's Samaria. And then to the uttermost means, I guess, to Arkansas or anywhere else that you want to go. It is important that we have our Christian testimony. I think a good practice, excuse me, my throat's just a little weak there. A good practice, write it out. Write your testimony out. And then every time you turn around, you can add more to it. We need to make a commitment to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you that Paul gave us such a strong command. And Father, give us the strength and the willingness to share that testimony that you have given us, and help us to be faithful to you. Help us to love one another. Help us to love our world. Help us to love people into heaven. Guide us now as a church that whatever we do, we can be glorified as glorifying you and glorified in doing your will. In Jesus' name, amen.